Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namostute, Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi, Radhe Vrindavanishvari, Rishabhanu Sute Devi, Pranamami Hari Priye, Vanchakalpa Trubhyascha, Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha, Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara, Shivasari Gaura Bhaktavrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So last week we left off with chanting japa. We had handed out some japa beads, and we chanted one round of japa together. Was that last week? It's Wednesday. Well, how many of you have experience with chanting japa every day, or doing some kind of japa? Experience. Okay. Japa. Ja means birth, and pa means sin. So japa means that which takes away birth in the material world and sin. Practically, it's impossible to avoid sin in the material world. Very difficult because of the churning of the modes of material nature. But it's necessary to advance in spiritual life because, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, yesham tvantagatam papam jananam punyakarmanam te dunvo mohanir mukta bhajantimam dridavrita. In order to be dridha, or determined in one's vrata, in one's vow of devotional service, one has to be free from sin. And the sin comes from the influence of the modes of material nature, kama esha, krodha esha, rajoguna samudbhava. Arjuna asked the question, why, if I don't want to do activities that are detrimental, am I induced anyway to do them? And Krishna says, by association with the modes of material nature, especially rajogun, mode of passion, Purusha prakritisto hi bhunti prakriti jangunan karanam gunasangosya sarasad yoni janmasu, that the cause of our good and bad situations in this world, sometimes as a human being, sometimes as an animal, sometimes as a demigod, this is transmigration. It's actually very serious business because we are teetering on a platform that is very delicate. The human body is very delicate, and our situation is not at all secure. One Bengali poet put it like this, Kamala Dalajala, Jivana Talamala. He said, just imagine a little drop that's resting on a lotus leaf, and it can slide off at any time. You don't know when. So our life in this body is like that. And we don't know where we're going. At the time of death, when we have to leave this body, it's obligatory. I might say, well, please give me the body of a king. But it's not in my hands, actually, at that point. Srimad Bhagavatam says that there's a higher authority involved. Karmana dhaivanetrena jantur dehopapati striya pravishta udaram pumso reta kanashaya, that we're placed in the womb of the next mother by higher authority. And we're helpless, actually. While we're associating with the modes of material nature in this world, we're becoming infected. Just like if I associate with somebody who has a communicable disease, and I get that disease, then I'm forced to suffer that, the reaction of that virus, bacteria, whatever it is, gets into my body, and especially if I'm weak and I can't fend it off, my immune system can't fend it off, then I have to experience the symptoms of that. So material life is called bhava, bhava rog. It's a kind of a diseased condition for the soul. And part of that disease condition is transmigration, and it's not a comfortable situation. We know this, many of us, from living in this world already and from experiencing being disconnected from loved ones who leave their body. We become very attached. It's natural to become attached biologically and then psychologically. And then when someone has to leave, we have a very heavy heart normally. And of course, people build memorials to those who have departed this world and so on and so forth. But it's inevitable. And everyone's being moved on. In fact, this universe, this existence that we're in now, is called Jagat. And Jagat means Jagachati, what's that which is going on, going on, going on. Everything's moving. For instance, this planet is spinning. We don't perceive it right now, but it's spinning rapidly. And it's also hurtling through space around other heavenly bodies, spinning, orbiting. And we're also being moved from one place to the next, one body to the next. So this is transmigration. And this is by the force of the material nature. Prakrite kriyamana ni gunai karmani sarvasha. Ahankara vimudatma kartahan iti manyate. We're being forced by the material nature to move. And most people, Krishna says, are unaware of this fact that they're controlled, and therefore they're vimudha. They're very foolish. So a wise person understands from hearing from Bhagavad Gita the precarious situation of this life and how serious it is to, it's a serious matter to take up spiritual life and make advancement to the point where I can become unaffected by the modes of material nature. This is called the Brahma-Bhuta platform. Brahma-Bhuta prasanatma na sochati na kankshati samak sarveshu bhuteshu madbhakta labhate param. One is no longer affected by the influence of the three modes of material nature. And this is altogether possible if one takes the process of yoga very seriously. And the supreme yoga is bhakti yoga. It's the direct process of linking with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And by doing that, because the Lord is transcendental, and we are transcendental, but we're small, we can become affected by the modes of material nature, but if we take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by His power, we can become unaffected by the three modes of material nature, even while living in this world. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught Rupa Goswami. He taught him for 10 days. He gave intense instructions to him about the process of devotional service and how to attain this position. And he gave him a metaphor for our spiritual progress, and that of a seed growing. He said, Brahmanda Brahmate Kon Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. And he said that there's a seed of devotional service that gets planted within the heart of a person who takes to devotional service. Originally, the seed, it starts, actually, the process starts through what's called a jnata sukriti, which means that even if I'm ignorant of the process of devotional service, if I come in contact with somebody who is a devotee of the Lord and who can engage me in service, even if I'm unaware of what I'm doing, still I make imperceptible progress. And when I have enough of what is called daivi sampat, or spiritual credit from this, then my faith awakens in devotional service. And this is the beginning stage of devotional service. Therefore, it's stated by the Goswamis, adau shraddha tata sadhu sangata bhajana kriya. In the beginning, adau, there's shraddha, which means faith. And this faith is born from agyata sukriti, or association with devotees, even unknowingly, or doing service. Then one comes to the position of desiring the association of devotees. This is called sadhusanga. It's the natural effect of shraddha. If I have faith, then the next thing is I want to find where there's some devotees, and I want to be with them. From that association, I enter into what's called bhajana kriya. Bhajana kriya means practicing the rules and regulations of devotional service. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described how one enters into this process and takes initiation into the process from a bona fide spiritual master. And if one does so seriously, Srila Prabhupada explains that the bhakti lata beach, or the creeper, is our careful following of the rules and regulations and the instructions of the spiritual master and imbibing the process of devotional service. That is the bhakti lata beach. If we carefully follow those instructions, we take it upon ourselves. Then Rupa Goswami heard from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that seed will sprout and it will grow through the coverings of this universe, which are composed of earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. We're in an enclosed environment covered by material elements. And just outside of all those is what's called the Viraja River. Raja means passion, like the mode of rajas. And V means without. So that realm is beyond the three modes of material nature, but it's not our ultimate destination. The yogis who want to merge into the Lord's existence go to that realm and merge, but eventually they'll fall back down again due to lack of variety and activity. But the devotee who takes to devotional service in the association of devotees and who follows the process of devotional service will imbibe this bhakti lata, this seed of devotional service. It will sprout, it will grow through the coverings of the universe all the way through the Viraja River. And just as a normal creeper needs to have some place to take shelter, like the creepers around my house, I've grown a lot of jasmine bushes, and they like to grab onto other trees and bushes. They need that in order to grow and expand. They got to grab onto something. Even if you put a chair next to them, they'll reach around the chair if you leave it there for a few days. So the bhakti lata creeper is like that too. It needs shelter. Although it's not material, it's spiritual, but it takes shelter in Goloka Vrindavan at Krishna's lotus feet. So when that creeper grows there and it takes shelter of Krishna's lotus feet in the spiritual world, it continues to grow even while we're in the material world. But it's important, says Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that even when the creeper grows into the spiritual world, the gardener, that's us, we must continue to water that creeper through the process of hearing and chanting. He calls Shravanadi Jal, means the water of hearing. And so if we stop watering the plant, then it will dry up. And also, there's ways that the creeper can be crushed. If we make an offense, if we make offenses especially to devotees who are sincerely practicing devotional service, then this is called the hatimata, or the mad elephant offense. And just as a mad elephant can enter into your garden in the middle of the night and ruin everything, you can just imagine. Even deer can ruin everything. Even snails can do it. What to speak of a big elephant can ruin your whole garden. So similarly, the creeper can be crushed to pieces by making offenses. So not only do we need to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, but simultaneously we have to endeavor to avoid offenses. This is the qualification for advancing in bhakti yoga. So there's a couple things going on tonight. Well, several things. We're on a new schedule, and thank you very much all for coming early. Hare Krishna. Very kind of you. We made this agreement last week to move the program earlier and also start the Artik earlier, too. It means that it'll start in half an hour. So it's quite a bit earlier than usual, and it's nice because it's still light out. So thank you all for coming. Second thing is that today is also Sankirtan Sunday. And for those of you who are not familiar, it means that there's an opportunity to get the association of very advanced Sankirtan devotees. Sankirtan devotees means those who are hearing and chanting regularly and have been trained in the art of going out to distribute Krishna consciousness to others. There's a cadre of those experts who will be, believe it or not, waiting in the parking lot to take us out for an excursion for about 40 minutes to distribute Krishna consciousness to others. And they already have the spots marked out in the city close by where we can go. And they have books for distribution. And they have everything organized. So those of you who want to do a ride-along and have a look at what they do and how they do it and maybe assist them or something like that, you can go along. And all you have to do is, when they show up here and they give the indication that it's time to go, we can go outside and pick which one we want to go with, or they'll pick us either way, and then you can go along and learn something about the distribution of Krishna consciousness, which is also an aspect we talked about, we have been talking about over the last few weeks, and which happens to be the main idea of this mission, which is to practice Krishna consciousness ourselves, but also to enthusiastically and vigorously distribute it to others as much as possible. And as I spoke at the beginning about Agyata Sukriti, because devotional service is absolute and very powerful, that when somebody comes in contact with Krishna through the devotees, even if they're unaware of exactly what they're doing or getting, they start getting this spiritual credit. And so what happens after that, according to what we were talking about earlier? They get a little spiritual credit called Agyata Sukriti. And then what? Shraddha. So Prabhupada said it's like everyone has a bank account in their heart. And every time that somebody comes in contact with this devotional process, for instance, you know, tonight we'll go out and we'll distribute to others, and someone might, for instance, take a book from us or some prasadam, because we'll be distributing those door to door. And even if they don't know what it is, they might read the name Krishna, Reservoir of Pleasure, on the cover. And they might see the picture of Krishna and think, oh, that's a beautiful cover. Like some people say that, oh, this is a beautiful book. What is it? Just by saying that and appreciating it, Shrinvanti Gayanti Grinantya Sadhava, Queen Kunti says that Krishna has come just to show how powerful and wonderful devotional service is, that if people just appreciate it, they make great advancement in devotional service. They get this sukriti. So we have our experts, as I said. One of them just walked in the door. This is Kishore, one of our Sankirtan leaders. And in his hand, what do you have in your hand there, Kishore? That looks... Okay. He has a list of the places where we're going, for those of us who want to go out for distribution. On our schedule now, we're going to leave in about 3 minutes. We're going to take an intermission here, so anyone who wants to go along for a ride-along and just watch or else participate or, you know, be part of the Sankirtan process, they can go with one of the cars outside, be taken to an undisclosed location. You'll be blindfolded when you go there, so you don't know how to get back. No, I'm just kidding. But we'll have you back here in about an hour. So that means just in time for the last part of the bhajans, and then, of course, for prasadam and everything like that, it'll be available. So what we're going to do now is take a 5-minute intermission. And keep in mind that Artik starts at 5:30. That's about 25 minutes. And so anyone who wants to go out to distribute the fruits of love of God and plant these seeds for about 40 minutes and then come on back here, you'll be back in about an hour, you can just wander outside the door. You don't have to go, but you can take a look and meet some of the leaders who are outside. And just if you have any questions for them, you can ask them. And you can team up with whomever they team you up with or whomever you want. And then come on back. And anyone who wants to stay for the rest of the program, we're going to continue on here with more Krishna Katha. And then we'll have an Artik in about 25 minutes. Does that sound agreeable? It's good? It's okay? Okay, so it's 5 minutes after 5 o'clock right now. We'll reconvene right here at 10 minutes after 5 o'clock. And anyone who would like to take a look at the possibility of going on Sankirtan or just go for it, you can step right outside the door during the 5-minute intermission and join up with one of the teams. Thank you very much. Go Premanande Hari Hari Bo.
Hare Krishna. So let's get started again. We don't have so much time, but we'll get back into Kunti Devi's prayers. We'll chant them together. They start on page 177. Tuvacham Namasye Purusham Tvadyam Ishwaram Prakrite Param Laksham Sarvabhutanam Antar Bahiravastitam Maya Javani Kachanam Angyad hoksajam avyayam Nalakshase mudajisham Nato natyadaroyata Tata paramaham sanam Muninam amalatmanam Bhakti yoga vidanartam Katam Pasye Mahishtya Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha. We're on page 179. Nama Pankajanabhaya Nama Pankajamaline Nama Pankajanetraya Namaste Pankajangaye Yata Hrishikesha Kalena Deviki Kamsena Dhati Chiram Sucharpita Vimochitaham cha sahatmaja vibho Tvayeva natena vahur vipadganat Vishan mahagne purushada darshanat Asat sabhaya vana vasaka chataha Mridhe mridhe neka maharatashtrato Jaunyashchas chashma hare birakshita Vipada shantuda shashva Tatta tatta jagad guru Bhavato darshanam yatsyat apunarvavadarshanam janmaishvarya shuta shibir edamana madapuman naivarhatya vidatum vai twamakinchana gocharam manye twam kalam ishanam anadhi nidanam vibhum samam charantam sarvatra bhutanam yanmitakali naveda kaschit bhagavan shakirshitam tavehamanasya nanam vidambanam nayasya kaschit dayatosti kahichin dveshascha yashmin vishamamatirninam bharavataranayanye bhuvo nava ivodhidhau siddhantya buribarena jato hyatma bhuvartida bhavesmin klisyamananam avidya kama karma vi shavana smarana arhani kadesyan iti kechana shinvanti gayanti gnandya bhikshnusha smaranti nandanti dvehitam jana te eva vasyanda chirena tavakam Bhava pravaho paramam padam bhajam apadyanastham sakadehita prabho jihasisi svetsuridho nujivina yesham nachanyan bhavata parambuja parayanam rajashu yohitam asham kevayam namarupabhyam Yarubi sapandava bhavato darshanam yarhi hrishikanam iveshitum neyam sobishyate tatra yate danim gadadara tvatpadar ankitar vati sanakshana vilakshitai ime janapada savridha Supakvaushadi viriddha Vanadri nadyadan vanto Yedante tava vikshitai Atta vishvesha vishvatman Vishvamurte swakeshame Sneha pasham imam chindi Dridham pandushu vrishnishu Twayi me nanya vishaya Matir madhupate sakrit Ratim udvahatad adha Gange vaugam udanvati Shri Krishna Krishna saka vishni rishabhavani jing Rajanyavamsa dhanana pavarga virya Govinda go dvija surati haravataram Yogeshwara Akila Guru Bhagavan Namaste Yogeshwara Akila Guru Bhagavan Namaste
Hare Krishna Prabhu, what's your name?
Nayan Ananda
Das. Okay. Welcome to ISKCON Silicon Valley, Gauranga Kishore Das. Where do you live?
In San Francisco.
San Francisco. Oh, great. Recently moved to the area?
No, I've actually been in Santa Cruz for quite some time.
Oh, okay.
So
cool.
I was invited by one of the devotees that's here visiting from Boston.
Okay, great. Cool. So we were just reading from Queen Kunti's prayers earlier in the program, and we took a break. A lot of the devotees went on Sankirtan, so we'll continue taking a look at her prayers. As we mentioned before, these are very important prayers. They're the first prayers in Srimad Bhagavatam. So in the first part of her prayers, Kunti Devi glorified Krishna.
And she explained the process for knowing Krishna, even though he's the Supreme Lord is beyond our sense perception. We can know him when he reveals himself to us, when we very sincerely and humbly worship him and offer our obeisances to him. Through this process of devotion, the Supreme Lord reveals himself. The unknowable becomes known willingly. That's the power of love, you know. You can't force anyone to do anything, really, you know. But through the power of love, through the power of devotion, people willingly do something which they would never do. They'll willingly give their life for something because of that feeling, if their heart is there. And when you do that, then it conquers the person. That's the nature of love. So we just read how Kunti was praying for these difficulties to come in her life over and over again. And this was not just an intellectual prayer, but her life had been filled with unimaginable difficulties. And now, just when everything is perfect, she feels, and this is not, because Krishna is actually leaving her, so it's not just theoretical. He's leaving to go back. Of course, they're never separated, but he's leaving to go back to Dwarka from Hastinapur. So she's feeling that now we've attained everything wherever we ever wanted. All our enemies are vanquished, right? They've won the Kurukshetra War. Yudhisthira is established as the king. But she feels, what's the point of it all? Krishna is leaving us now. He's going, now that we've won, better that we are suffering in exile and Krishna was there with us. Because she wants, as a pure devotee, her only concern is to have Krishna's association. So this is, Prabhupada would sometimes give the analogy, the example that in Bengal there's an expression that the mother teaches the daughter-in-law through the daughter. So the daughter-in-law, she marries into the family. So the mother may not be able to directly chastise her or instruct her about how things work in the family, but she says something to the daughter, and the daughter-in-law can understand, oh, this goes here, that goes there, and she doesn't feel offended, or doesn't feel hurt. So Prabhupada explained that the Lord's devotees come to this world and they have to undergo all the different trials and tribulations of this world to teach us how we should handle them. Because we may feel, oh, I can't pray like that, right? I can't pray, Krishna, please send difficulties over and over again. Please send them constantly. We may think, I can't pray like that. That's too advanced for me. That may be for the pure devotees. But the nature of the world is that they're going to come anyways. The world is full of difficulties. So if we don't pray like that, we're going to be constantly frustrated. Whereas if we have this attitude of seeing that everything in life happens for a reason, that everything in whatever happens to us, no matter what, is meant to bring us closer to God, is meant to help us forward on the spiritual path. If that is our overall attitude to everything in life, then nothing is seen as a difficulty. We can approach every situation with gratitude. In any no matter what situation we're in, we can find a reason to be happy, or we can find a reason to be miserable. We can be in the most beautiful situation, but we can find a reason to be miserable. Or we can be in the most very difficult situation, but we can find a reason to be happy. It's just a matter of our consciousness. So these difficulties will come in life. And if we have this attitude of gratitude, of thanking the Lord for everything, because we understand that it helps us come closer to Him, it helps us make spiritual advancement, then we'll be constantly happy. If that's our internal attitude, nothing that happens to us can shake us at all from our spiritual progress and from our spiritual happiness within. So, moving on, Kunti Devi, in text 182, text 1827. My obeisances unto you, namo kinshinavittaya navritta gunavritta. You are the property of the materially impoverished. You have nothing to do with the actions and reactions of the material modes of nature. You are self-satisfied, and therefore most gentle, and are the master of the monists. So again, she's just re-emphasizing that Krishna is namo akinshinavittaya. He's the property of the materially impoverished. Kinshina means something in Sanskrit. Akinshina means nothing. Haribol Barhari Pru Kijai Koshupa. Spooky Jai. So we're just looking at Queen Kunti Devi's prayers. A lot of the devotees have gone on Harinam, and we'll be starting Aarti soon. We're on page 182. So in the next verse, Manye tvam kalam ishana manadi nidnam vibhu samam charantam sarvatra bhutanam yanmitakali. My Lord, I consider your Lordship to be eternal time, the supreme controller without beginning and end, the all-pervasive one. In distributing your mercy, you're equal to everyone. The dissensions between living beings are due to social intercourse. And I'll just read the next verse because they kind of go together. O Lord, no one can understand your transcendental pastimes, which appear to be human and are so misleading. You have no specific object of favor, nor do you have any object of envy. People only imagine that you're partial. So in the first verse, Manye, she says, I think, I consider, Tvam Kalam Ishanam. I consider your Lordship to be eternal time. So this is a very important theme in Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita also, that the time factor is a representation of the Lord. And this goes along with the idea of accepting difficulties. The time factor brings so many difficulties, just basically birth, death, old age, and disease. These are going on by the time factor, but the devotee sees Krishna in them. They see, whatever time brings, whatever destiny brings, they see Krishna in that. And this comes up in the next chapter, and Bhishma Dev also, how the Pandavas suffered so much, and Bhishma Dev, he says that this is all due to the will of the Supreme Lord in the form of time, and a lot of places in the first canto, and of course in Bhagavad Gita, this is this idea of the Supreme Lord, time being the Supreme Lord. And this verse also brings up the idea that the Supreme Lord is equal to everyone. Bhutanam yanmita klihi, that the dissensions between living beings are due to social intercourses. So the Supreme Lord is equal. No one can understand your pastimes, which appear so misleading. You have no specific object of favor, nor do you have any object of envy. So this is really getting very close to the mystery of Srimad Bhagavatam, the heart of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Lord's relationship with his devotees. The whole seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam begins with this question. Previously, in the sixth canto, Vishnu, he sides with the demigods and with the suras and the battle between the demigods and the demons. And then Maharaj Parikshit asks the question to Sukadeva Goswami, how is it that the Supreme Lord appears to be partial? And then the whole story of Lord Nrisimhadev. So this is a very big topic, which we won't go into so much, but simply stated in Bhagavad Gita, Samaham sarvabhuteshu name dvesyosti na pranapya ye bhajanti tumam bhaktya mai te teshu chapyam. Krishna says, I'm equal to everyone. No one is my friend and no one is my enemy. So this idea of friends and enemies is a very big topic in the Vedic literatures. It's this idea of how we have to be compassionate to all living entities. In Western religious traditions, they say treat others as you'd want to be treated and to yourself. So this is the basic idea. No friends or enemies doesn't mean that we're like a dead stone, or doesn't mean that the Supreme Lord is like a dead stone, just completely like non-emotional or something. But the idea of no friends and no enemies means a kind of transcendental love or compassion that transcends all self-interest. In the material conception of life, we think someone is my friend because they can give me something, and someone is my enemy because they're impeding my sense gratification. Then there's conflict. But from the spiritual platform, there's no friends or enemies on the material level, because we have nothing to gain materially. We only want to help others. So this is a kind of consciousness that transcends, love in the material world is very, very limited. You have your best friend, there's discretion, or your husband or wife, and you can only love that person at the exclusion of everyone else. But the spiritual love transcends all limited barriers. Because when you repose your love in Krishna, you can actually repose your love properly to all other living entities. Whereas if you try it the other way around, it doesn't work. Prabhupada would give the simple example of the root and the tree, and we can look practically throughout history. There's been so many attempts, especially recently in modern, I was just studying a little bit about the history of communism and different personalities and how many hundreds of millions of people have died in this name of so-called compassion, of sort of creating a better society. Millions and millions of people have died. Okay. So Kunti Devi is moving into this mystery of the Supreme Lord's pastimes. Naveda kaschit, no one can know you, O my Supreme Lord. Naveda kaschit bhagavan chikirshitam, no one can know your pastimes. And then she says, janmakarma chavishvatman ajasikarthar atmana tiryanishu yadahashu tat atyanta vidambanam tat atyanta vidambanam. Oh, that is very bewildering. She says, although you are the, of course it is bewildering, O soul of the universe, that you work, although you are inactive. And that you take birth, although you are the vital force and the unborn. You yourself descend amongst the animals, men, sages, and aquatics. Verily, this is bewildering. So this is very poetic. Janma karma cha vishvatman ajasikarta atmana. You work, although you're inactive, and you take birth, although you're unborn. And to further explain, to illustrate how bewildering the Supreme Lord's pastimes are, she quotes Krishna's childhood pastimes. Kopyadade twayi kutuga siddhamatavan yatedisha shukalilan janasambramaksham bhaktram niniya bhaya bhavanaya stitasya samam vimohayati bhiyapiyad viveti. She says, interestingly enough, this is the first time the word gopi comes in Srimad Bhagavatam. Gopyadade, gopi, the cowherd lady Yashoda, she took up a stick to chastise you. And when you committed offense, your perturbed eyes overflowed with tears, which washed the mascara from your eyes. And you're afraid, although fear personified is afraid of you. This sight is bewildering to me. So this is very beautiful poetry and very important verse. That Krishna's pastimes, this verse is quoted by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in Madhurya Kadambini to illustrate that Krishna is not just pretending to be afraid, right? That Krishna is actually, if Krishna was just pretending to be afraid in this situation, someone may say, oh, Krishna is just acting. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he performs these different pastimes, but he's not really afraid. Sometimes we may have thought that before. But if Krishna was, we could all understand that, right? That God could pretend to be a little kid and not be afraid, but actually pretend to be afraid. That's comprehensible. So if that was the case, there would be no need for Kunti to say, Devi to say, Vimohayati, this is bewildering me, right? So Krishna is actually afraid. That's what's bewildering. It's not bewildering that Krishna is pretending to be afraid. What's bewildering is that he's actually afraid. So this is a great mystery of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is being introduced here. Krishna's pastimes. And of course, she doesn't mention it specifically here, but Krishna's pastimes with the gopis, just by using the word gopi, there's an obvious allusion to his pastimes with the young gopis of Vrindavan. Here the word gopi means the older gopis, but this is even more bewildering. So bewildering that most people, we don't even talk about it very much because it's too bewildering. How can the Supreme Lord perform such pastimes? But nonetheless, he does. And by through this process, by studying these prayers in Srimad Bhagavatam, we can actually understand that. And that's what, even though it's completely bewildering, it's understandable. And that's what the next section of Kunti Devi's prayers moves into. She talks about why the Lord appears. Kechit, some people, ahu ajam jatam. So some people say that the ajam, the unborn, is born. Punya shloka sikirtaye. To glorify the great pious king of the Yadu dynasty, Yadu priyasyan vavaye malaseva chandanam. He is born to please King Yadu, one of your dearest devotees. You appear in his family as sandalwood appears in the Malai hills. So some people you say to please your devotee King Yadu. Apare, others, vasudeva siya deva kim yachito abhyagat. Ajastvamasya shemaya vadhaya chasrajasam. Others say that since both Vasudeva and Devaki prayed for you, you have taken your birth as their son. Undoubtedly, you are unborn. Yet you take your birth for their welfare and do kill those who are envious of the demigods. So other people say that you took birth of Vasudeva and Devaki because they prayed for you and to relieve the burden of the earth, right? To Vadhaya, to kill the enemies of the demigods. Jagannath Prabhu, can you come here for a minute? Can you check to see if the pujaris are there, ready to do the offering? So then she goes on to explain in the same idea. Of course, Krishna talks about this in Bhagavad Gita. Yada yada hi dharmasya ganir bhavati bharata dvittanam adharmasya tadatmanam shujamyaham. He says this, that he comes to kill the demons and to establish religious principles. So Kunti Devi is explaining that also. Bhravataranaya anye. Anye means others. They say that this burden of the earth, bhuvi nava evodida siddhantya bhuribarena jato hyatma bhuvartitaha, that others say that this world, being overburdened like a boat at sea, is much aggrieved, and that Brahma, who is your son, prayed to you, and so you've appeared to diminish the trouble. So these are all true. But now Kunti Devi comes to the real reason why Krishna is appearing. Bhavesmin klisyamananam avidya kama karmabhi shavanasmaranarhani karisyanitikechana. Yet others say that you appeared to rejuvenate the devotional service of hearing, chanting, remembering, worshipping, and so on, in order that the conditioned souls suffering from the material pangs might take advantage and gain liberation. Sinvanti gayanti grinantya bhikshnusha smaranti nandanti tavehitam jana. Teva pasyanta chirena tavakam bhava pravaho paramam paramujam. O Krishna, those who continuously hear, chant, and repeat your transcendental activities, or take pleasure in others doing so, certainly see your lotus feet, which alone can stop the repetition of birth and death. So, Queen Kunti Devi here is, you know, previously she said that she wanted the calamities to come over and over again. Not there, okay. She wanted the calamities to come over and over again. Why? Because by seeing Krishna over and over again, she no longer had to see repeated birth and death. So here again we find this bhava pravaho paramam. Pravaha uparamam means the current, uparamam means cessation. This current of material existence is stopped. By what? The lotus feet of the Lord. So he appears to rejuvenate this process of hearing and chanting, the process of devotional service, by which we can know him. As she stated at the beginning of her prayers, he is unknowable except the Supreme Lord is unknowable because he's covered by the curtain of deluding energy, the Maya Javani Kachanam. But by offering our obeisances unto the Lord, by the process of devotional service, performing it in a very humble state of mind, not being proud of our material opulences, such as our birth or our wealth or anything connected with the body, and by performing this devotional service, which the Supreme Lord specifically comes, we can understand the Supreme Lord and we can become free from this repeated cycle of birth and death. Now, Queen Kunti, for the rest of her prayers, she transitions in kind of getting back to the storyline of the Mahabharata, and she's personally speaking to the Lord now. Of course, she's always personally, but this is about her personal situation. We remember Krishna is just leaving Hastinapur after the battlefield of Kurukshetra, after the Lord saved them, after Ashwatthama, after the incident with Maharaj Parikshit. Now the Lord is leaving. So, apadyanas, adya means today, right now. Apadyanas tam sakatehita prabhu. Jihasasi svitsuru donu jivana yesham nachanya advavadapadam vajat. Parayanam rajasu yohitam nasam. O my Lord, you have executed all duties yourself. Are you leaving us today, though we are completely dependent on your mercy and have no one else to protect us, now when all kings are at enmity with us? So, you might think if you were in her situation, right, and you had Arjuna and Bhima and Yudhisthira as your son, you'd think you'd feel pretty protected if Bhima and Arjuna and Yudhisthira were on your side, right? That's what Bhishma Dev, when he says, when he sees the Pandavas, he says, just look at what time has done. Even though you had Yudhisthira Maharaj, religion personified, you had Bhima, the most powerful person in the world, you had Arjuna, the wielder of the Gandiva bow. Still, despite all that, and on top of all that, you had Krishna as your personal friend. Still, look at all the reverses you suffered. He said, therefore, I think this must be the will of the Lord. But so she feels completely dependent on Krishna's mercy. This is the nature of a pure devotee. Krishna is leaving, externally, apparently leaving, and she feels completely helpless. Even though they're ruling the world and all their enemies have actually, truthfully just been killed, she now feels that they're very vulnerable now that Krishna is leaving. And she gives a very beautiful analogy in the next verse. Kevayam nama rupabhyam yadubi sahapandava bhavato darshanam yarhi hushikanam iveshtitum. She says, as the name and fame of a particular body is finished with the disappearance of the living spirit, similarly, if you do not look upon us, all our fame and activities along with the Pandavas and the Yadus will at once end. So she's not proud at all. The tendency is to become proud when you have some opulence. But she knows that that opulence is only due to Krishna. And we may be proud of the opulences of this body, but when the soul leaves, all those opulences are gone. Whatever knowledge we've acquired, whether wealth, whatever things we've built up, whatever reputation, it's all gone when the soul leaves the body. It just disappears. Of course, it never really was there, but it's another story. So she's feeling that when Krishna leaves, bhavata adarshanam, this is again, we just heard about bhava, so she keeps playing on these words. Bhavata, you're, without your darshan, our name and fame will be finished. Neyam sovishyate chacha yatedanim gadadhara tatparar ankitar bhakti salakshana vilakshitai. Very poetic. Swalakshana vilakshitai. So, swalakshana means the qualities, your own characteristics. And vilakshitai, by the impressions of your feet. Twatpada ankita bhakti. So she says that our kingdom, this land of our kingdom, it will not appear beautiful as it does now. Now it appears beautiful. Why? Because you're marking it with the impressions from your lotus feet. But when you're gone, it will no longer be marked by the impressions of your lotus feet. Therefore, all as the material opulence, it will no longer be beautiful. Only if you're there. And again, just as this body is no longer beautiful when the soul is there, right? Most beautiful person, if it's a dead body, no one wants to touch it. Ime janapada suvriddha supak vaushadi varuddha vanaddi naddi danvanto hedante tavikshite. All these cities and villages are flourishing in all respects because the herbs and grains are in abundance. The trees are full of fruits and the rivers are flowing. The hills are full of minerals and the oceans are full of wealth. And all this is due to your glancing over them. And now we come to the heart of Queen Kunti Devi's prayers, these last two verses. Ata Vishvesha Vishvatman Vishvamurte Shvakeshame Sneha Pasham Mimam Chindi Didham Pandushu Vishnishu. O Lord of the universe, O soul of the universe, O personality of the form of the universe, please, therefore, sever my tie of affection for my kinsmen, the Pandavas and the Vrishnis. So the very important word here is the first word, ata. Ata means now, right? So now means what? Why is she saying ata? Ataha. Why now get rid of my family attachments? Because the Lord's leaving, yeah. Krishna's leaving. So she says, our kingdom was so beautiful because you were there. And by extension, she was so happy to be a part of that family. But now that Krishna was leaving, everything was beautiful. But now that Krishna's leaving, there's a nice verse from Lord Brahma's prayers. I don't know if I remember the whole thing, but it says, Tavat kara graham graham yavat Krishna tejana. It's the last two lines. But she says that, or Brahma says that, She says that as long as people do not become your devotee, family life is like chains and the home is like a prison. Yavat Krishnan Tejana, as long as they don't take shelter of you. Okay. So, okay. Okay. So, this is the idea. Ata Vishvesha Vishwan. Oh, Supreme Lord, now that you're leaving us, she says, I have no more use for this family affection because it's not connected to you. Of course, it always was, but this is her mood that she doesn't want to have anything to do with anything that's not connected to Krishna. Sneha Pasham, this rope of affection, Imam Chindi, cut this. Jiddham Pandushu Vishnishu, this very firm rope of affection. And what does she ask for? Not just, please sever my affection, because that is not the process which Krishna recommends in Bhagavad Gita, which is not the process of devotional service, but to transfer that affection to the Supreme Lord, to transfer that love to the Supreme Lord. When we actually do that, then we can love everyone. So she says, Twayi me nanya vishaya matir madhu pate sukrit ratim udvahatam adha gange vaugam udanvati. O Lord of Madhu, as the Ganges forever flows to the sea without hindrance, let my attraction be constantly drawn unto you without being diverted to anyone else. So this is the heart of Queen Kunti Devi's prayer. And this is, as we mentioned before, the first prayers in Srimad Bhagavatam, the first set of prayers, very important prayers. And this is really what Srimad Bhagavatam is all about. So this is how we can live in such a way and cultivate such a consciousness that it will always be drawn to the Supreme Lord in any situation. And she gives the example of the Ganges, which is a very beautiful example. Mother Ganga, she's flowing down from the Himalayas, and if there's mountains, if there's boulders, if there's trees, whatever it is, she's just rushing forward. It doesn't matter what's there. Nothing can stop. Can anything stop the flow of water? If you make a dam, it will build up. Eventually, it'll go over the dam. It will break through. Nothing can stop the flow of water. It will end up at the ocean. It's impossible for it not to. So this is the Ananya Vishaya, with unalloyed. Vishaya means object. With no other object, Ananya Vishaya, Prabhupada just translates it as unalloyed, ananya. Anya means other, ananya means without any other, and Vishaya means object. So let my attention, let my consciousness be only in you, just as the Ganga flows to the sea constantly without being diverted. And then to conclude, she offers her obeisances to Krishna again, directly illustrating the conclusion of her prayer. She offered her obeisances to Krishna at the beginning by saying, Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nandagopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha Namo Pankajanabhaya Namo Pankajamaline Namo Pankajanetraya Namaste Pankajangriye. And here again, she is offering her obeisances to Krishna to conclude her prayers. So let's chant this final verse. Let's chant them all together. We'll chant all these prayers one time through from beginning to end, one more time, because they're so wonderful. There's a very, very beautiful recording of Srila Prabhupada, and he was very fond of these prayers, and it's a very beautiful recording of him chanting these prayers. So we're going to be reading, these prayers start on page 177, for those that just came in. If you don't have a book in front of you, you can look on with someone else, please.
Kuntivacha Namasye Purusham Twadyam Ishwaram Prakrite Param alaksham sarvabhutanam antar bahir avastitam.
Oh, 1 second. Badahari Brew, could you please take, there's a microphone right there. You can sing along, please. Sorry. For everyone that doesn't know, this is Badahari Prabhu and his wife Koshi Rupa Prabhu there. They're disciples of Srila Prabhupada and our special guest with us tonight.
Kuntivacha Namasye Purusham Twadyam Ishwaram Prakrite Param Alaksham Sarvabhutanam Antar Bahiravastitam Maya Javanikachannam Agnyad Hoksajam Avyayam Nalakshase Mudajasho Natar Natyadaroyata Tata paramaham sanam muninam amalatmanam bhakti yoga vidhanartam katam basye mahishtriyah krishnaya vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha Nama Pankajana Bhaya Nama Pankajamaline Nama Pankajanetraya Namase Pankajangaye Yata Hrishikeshakalena Devake Kamsena Dhati Chiram Sucharpita Vimochitaham Cha Sahatmaja Vibho Twayeva natena muhur vipadganat Vishan mahagne purushara darshanat Asat sabhaya vanavasak chaptaha Mridhe mridheneka maharatashchato Jaunyashchaschashma hare birakshita Vipara shandudashashvat Tatra tatra jagad guru Bhavato darshanam yachyat Apunar bhavadarshanam Janmaishvarya Shuta Shribi Eramana Madapuman Naivarhatya Vidatum Vai Tramakinchana Goshara Namo Kinchana Vittaya Nivritta Guna Vittaye Atmaramaya Shantaya Kaivalya Pudhye Namaha Manye Twam Kalam Ishanam Anadhi Nidanam Vibhum Samam Charantam Sarvatra Bhutanam Yannita Kali Naveda kaschid bhagavan chakirshitam Traveha manasya ninam vidambanam Nayasya kaschid dayatosti kahichit Dveshastya yashmin nishamamatir ninam janma karma cha vishvatma ajasya karturatmana tiryan nishu yadhashu tat atyanta vidambanam gopyad de twaye kata gasidamatava yate dashashukalilanjana samramaksham vaksham niniya bhaya bhavanaya stitasya samam vimohayati bhidapiyad vibheti kechit ahu ajam jatam punya shlokasya kirtaye yado priyasyan vavaye malasya eva chandanam apare vasudevasya devakyam yachito bhyaga ajastvam asya shemaya vadhaya chasuradusham bravataranaya nye bhuvo navayivo dhau siddhancha buribarena jato yatma bhuvaitita bhavesmen klishyamananam avidya kama karma vi shavana smaranarhani karishyaniti kechana shinvanti gayanti ganandya vikshnasha smaranti nandanti tavehitam jana te eva pasyanta chadena tavakam bhava pravaho paramam bhajam bhajam apadyanastvam sakatehita prabho jihasasi swit suritho nu jivina yesham nu chanyad bhavata param bhujat parayanam rajishu yohitam asam kevayam namarupabhyam yaruvi saha pandava bhavato darshanam yahi shikanam niveshitum neyam sovishyate tatra yate danim gadadhara Tvatpadarankita bhati swalakshana vilakshitai ime janapadasya vriddha suvakvaushadi viruddha vanaji nadyudanvanto yedante tava vikshitai ta vishvesha vishvatmam Vishwamurte Shakishame Sneha Pashami Mamchindi Pandushub Jadha Vishnishu Twaye Menanya Vishaya Madhye Madhupade Sakrit Vratim Udvahatad Adha Gange Vaugamudanvati Shri Krishna Krishna Saka Vishnu Shabhavani Jig Rajanya Vamsa Dhanana Pavarga Virya Govinda Godvija Surate Haravatara Yogeshwara Kila Guru Bhagavan Namaste Shri Krishna Krishna Saka Vishnu Shabhavani Jing Rajanya Vamsa Dhanana Pavarga Virya Govinda Godvija Surati Haravatara Yogeshwara Kila Guru Bhagavan Namaste Shri Krishna Krishna Saka Vishni Rishabhavani Jing Rajanyavam Sadhana Pavarga Virya Govinda Godrija Surati Haravatara Yogeshwara Kila Guru Bhagavan Namaste Yogeshwara Kila Guru Bhagavan Namaste Shri Krishna Bhagavan Ki Jai Shrimati Kunti Devi Maharani Ki Jai Kantaraj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.
So I definitely encourage everyone to take a look at Srimad Bhagavatam. You can note down the chapter and read Srila Prabhupada's purports to these verses. They're very, very beautiful. And you can also try chanting these prayers on a daily basis. It's something that can be very helpful, maybe before you chant japa or just when you get up in the morning, to pray to Krishna with these beautiful prayers. You never know when they might save you. The elephant Gajendra, there's a story in the Bhagavatam about a king who later took birth as an elephant. He was attacked by a crocodile, but even as an elephant, he remembered these prayers he used to chant in a previous birth, and he began to offer them to the Lord. That's a whole other canto, but you never know when they might save you. So we'll end this part of the program today. Everyone can get up in an orderly fashion. We can put the mats away and the books away and everything, and we'll get ready for the RT ceremony. Thank you so much for patiently tolerating. Hare Krishna.